Boy, a lot going on in baseball today. Of course, we've got game two here, Giants and Diamondbacks, as Alex Cobb, who I think is the Giants' best pitcher right now, goes against Merrill Kelly, who has just eaten up the Giants in four starts this year. The Giants have Ford Proctor. Yes, Ford Proctor is here. He's playing second base tonight. Estrada's got some problems. Gonzalez is on the injured list. And Lewis Brinson has been outrighted to Sacramento. Just another day at the office for the Giants. Matt Snyder joins us, CBSSports.com. Matt, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Very good. Yeah, you had the lead story today on CBS Sports, as I looked it up this morning, on Albert Pujols. You had some very interesting numbers in that story of how Albert stacks up against all the greats of the game. Can you go through some of that with us? It was really good.
You're talking about the, like, most times hitting 40 and most times hitting 30.
Yes, fairly good. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun to go through. I was curious. I had no idea exactly how it would take out. Other than that, I knew he would be toward the top of the list there. In terms of the most 40 home run seasons in the history of baseball, Albert Pujols is right there, but not at the top. Babe Ruth had 11 40 home run seasons. Hank Aaron, Harm McKillibrew, Barry Bonds, and A-Rod had 8. Pujols has 7, along with Ken Griffey Jr. and Sammy Sosa. 30-plus, Pujols is 1 back. He has 14 seasons with 30 home runs or more. Same with Barry Bonds. Hank Aaron and A-Rod both had 15. And then if you go down to 20 home runs, which, you know, last night, 699 was his 20th home run of the year. So that's his 18th 20 home run season. Hank Aaron had 20 of those. Barry Bonds had 19. So, he's up there with the best of the best of the best.
Boy, and so what happens now with Albert Pujols? Matt Snyder with us. Please go to CBSSports.com. He does a great job there. What happens with him next year? Is that it for him? As you say, I'll walk away?
Yeah.
You think so? Because he's one of the best hitters in the league against lefties.
But that's how you want to go out, right? I mean, I think, I obviously have no idea in his mindset, but I think that the most logical way to step into somebody's mind like that is when he's already said this is it and he's enjoying the ride and he's having that good of a season. You might think, oh, what if I come back and do it for another year? But he's 42 years old. His feet are not in great shape. He's had plantar fasciitis for so long. You might come back and have a terrible year, and then you go out on a bad note. So I think he's probably loving how great he's going out. And that he did get to 700 has to remove all doubt. You know, I mean, he said all along, even if I don't get to 700, it's not about numbers. I'm really content with this being it. I think that's just kind of the cherry on top. Like, well, now he did make 700, so what else does he have to come back for? If he was chasing his first ring and they fell short, maybe there's a little something there, but he's already won a couple. So I think that he's really content with this being the last run and probably really happy that he's so productive in that last run because so many guys don't get to go out that way.
He's a big part of the Cardinals, huge part of the Cardinals and getting stuff done. You also mentioned in the article how we're fascinated with round numbers. And as I said earlier today, if he hit 699, my goodness, well, what would we say? But 700 just makes his career look a lot better.
It does. And that's the thing. Like when he passed A-Rod, A-Rod had 696. When he got to 697, you look ahead to Babe Ruth at 714. We knew that he was going to end up fourth place all time. There was no way he was going any higher. He had passed A-Rod. But still, you're looking ahead to that 700 because it just sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's kind of the opposite of when somebody's pricing something and they say, well, it costs $699 instead of $700. It just sounds way cheaper when it's a dollar below. Well, on the home runs there, when you get to that next plateau, it just sounds a lot better to say he's in the 700 home run club rather than he hits $699.
I love it. It's a great story. It really is. And he sort of resurrected his career. I mean, you know, when you look at all he accomplished with the Cardinals early on, and MVPs and the seasons that you just described for us, and then all of a sudden Anaheim happened, and he got hurt, and now all of a sudden now he's back. Who knows how he did it, but he's back, and he's having a tremendous end of the career. It really is a story.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been, you know, he only had 6 home runs at the All-Star break, and he was having a bad year. And it was kind of like, oh, you know, him and Miguel Cabrera, you know, they're kind of washed up, which sounds bad, but for lack of a better term, and they're both there at the All-Star game. And, you know, that's as right. ambassadors of the game more than anything else. But, man, in the second half, he's been ridiculous. Like, vintage Pujols good.
Yeah, very good. I love it. Now, you did a good job with that story. That's at CBSSports.com. Aaron Judge, he didn't get anything done today against the Yankees. 1-7-5. Rizzo hit a home run. Gleyber Torres hit a home run today. But no home run for Aaron Judge. Are you sitting on this one, 60, 61, 62? How do you feel about this one?
Here's how good he's been all year. It feels like he's in a mini-funk right now, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's been 4 games.
Come on, 2 games. Is it 4 games, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, this was his 4th game without a home run. He hit 2 on Sunday and 1 on Monday. No, they were off Monday. So he won Tuesday. So it's just been since Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then today, Saturday. It's been 4 games, and it feels like he's in a mini funk, but he was 2-for-4 with 2 doubles on Wednesday, and he got a knock last night. So he's not really in that big of a funk. He just hasn't hit a home run in 4 days. So I expect it's probably going to happen soon. Now, if it is a few more days, he might start thinking about it. He's as diplomatic as anybody. He's kind of like the new version of Jeter, in where sometimes he might talk a lot, but he doesn't actually really say anything because he's such a baseball version of a politician that he doesn't want to make anybody mad. So he never really says, "Oh, I want it," but you know he's at least thinking about it a little bit. And yeah, I think right now he's probably fine. He's more worried about them winning, and they are winning. They're playing really well right now. They've won 6 in a row. But yeah, if you go another 3 or 4 games, he might really start thinking about it. He'll say he's not, but I would think that it'll start to weigh on him in another couple of games.
How do you like the new playoff format, the 3-game series? Because, you know, Rick Riz is going to join us later from the Mariners and talking about Castillo, who they signed today, and Robbie Ray and Gilbert. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got the Cleveland rotation. And it's going to be an interesting first round, isn't it?
It's going to be a very interesting first round. I used to always like how much more exclusive baseball's playoffs were than everybody else. I thought we were good with the 3 division winners and a wild card. When they added a second wild card, I thought, you know what, that's fine because it puts more emphasis on winning the division just to make sure you don't have to play in one playing game. And a lot of those wild card games were so much fun. I do think 3 games instead of 1 is probably a good step. I don't know. It feels like we're starting to add too many teams. But I say that 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be enjoying the heck out of it because it's going to be so fun to have so many first-round series.
Yeah, I think so. And baseball loves the elimination game. And after the first game, you got a 7th game of the World Series. Because, you know, someone could get knocked out, and baseball loves it, and that's why the networks pay so much money for it. Did you ever thought about Apple TV and the controversy around Judge being on a streaming service last night? And boy, the Yes Network went nuts and New York went crazy and Michael Kay wanted to take over and, you know, who knows what was going to go on. What do you think?
I think it's been between that and the Sunday game on Peacock. There's been a lot of consternation about it all year. I think it finally came to a head last night with all the hand-wringing in New York. And then what was funny is you didn't hear that much about it from St. Louis, but the Cardinals-Dodgers was the second Apple game. So Pujols hitting 700 was on Apple TV as well. I understand them trying to give people as many options as possible or trying to hit audiences that might not otherwise see baseball. I just kind of feel like when it's a special event, and maybe baseball should have had some foresight here when they signed those contracts and said, look, we have to reserve the right to let local markets these games if we have a special moment like that. But they didn't, so they couldn't really back out of the contract there. I know a lot of people have been saying, like, it's free, it's not that hard to sign up. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of people who don't really stream and aren't tech savvy, and really you need to make it as easy as you can for people like that to be able to find your product when it's something that cool. So I thought it could have been done better, but I do think that they had painted themselves into a corner with those deals.
Good point. Now, that's a very good analysis. They should have reserved the right to change it on a big moment, such as look, MLB, of course, they've got all the rights. They cut in when, you know, a great moment is happening. They have the right to do that. So that's a, Matt, that's a very good point for a lawyer. I like that. Did you go to law school?
Absolutely not. No.
You did not. Okay.
All right. I am a big fan of A Few Good Men, so maybe there was some of that argumentative nature coming in there.
I like it. Oh, great movie. Jack Nicholson, the best. All right. Some good, interesting moments in baseball, though. Atlanta and the Mets, as Kyle Wright goes for the 20th today. How about that in today's world? And DeGrom had a big lead in the first inning, and the A's blasted him. They're winning 6-4 in the sixth. How about the Braves and the Mets? How about that one?
That one, I hope that it goes down to the wire, because that is our only hope on a divisional race to go down to the wire. 2.5 coming in today. They do have a 3-game series left against each other. It is in the last week. Unfortunately, it's not the very last series, because that would have been really awesome if it was a 3-game series and it was like, you know, a 1-game lead by somebody going into that series. But it's still pretty cool that it's going to go down to the wire. Another interesting thing on that one is the Braves won the division with 88 wins last year. There's a chance both teams win 100 this year and one of them gets left in the wild card series after what happened last year. It's a good illustration of how funky baseball can be on a year-to-year basis, and, you know, obviously in smaller samples as well. So I'm really enjoying the heck out of that race.
Well, it's interesting because the 4-5 winner ends up playing the number one seed. I guess that would be the Dodgers in the second round. So you could have two 100-win teams, again, like the Giants and Dodgers last year. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And as well as the Cardinals have played in the second half, the National League has gotten to the point where they have four powerhouses. So we could have a really, really awesome NLDS unless something in the wild card messes that up, which is fine. Because sometimes, you know, like look at the Nationals running 2019. If somebody like the Padres gets that hot, they could break it up. But as of right now, you're looking at a really, really powerful NLDS.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And you know, in the American League, you were on with us probably a couple of months ago. Are you convinced or not convinced on the Astros right now? Most people are saying they are the class of the American League.
Oh, absolutely. They're absolutely the best team. But, you know, I just mentioned the 2019 Nationals. They took down the Dodgers that year. They took down the Astros that year. The best teams don't always win here in these small, short series in the postseason. So Astros head and shoulders above everybody else. Yankees would be second there now that they've got themselves back on track right now. But, like, as well as the Guardians are playing right now, you can see them making a run. If the Blue Jays got everybody right and they were going as well as they came, they have a ton of talent in their own right. So you could see somebody breaking up that party for the Astros for sure.
That's going to be a good one. It seems like Toronto and Tampa Bay play every day. Do they have like a 40-game series?
So
is that it?
Yeah. It was something like 9 times out of 13 games. Yeah, they have a 5-game series and a 4-game series.
Yeah, every day it's Tampa Bay and Toronto. That's about it. Boy, interesting. What a season it's been. I think, and I brought this up a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago, really, where we were over the winter and to where we are now. How about the season that's turned out here and sort of the hope for the future with the new rule changes next year and all that? How do you feel about baseball in general right now?
Well, I think we're in a great place, especially 2020 was rough for everybody, but I don't think that baseball came off well because it was the one sport that was the worst possible timing for baseball, and then they argued over money. And so many people did not want to hear a bunch of rich people arguing about money. So we already didn't look really good as a sport coming out of that. And then with the lockout right on the heels of that, fighting over what looked like money again, it was a bad time in the spring. But I think that once they started playing, they're getting in a full 162. I thought the All-Star festivities, especially with the run pools, had Home Run Derby, a fun game in this. The pools run at 700, the judge run at 61, stuff like the Mets and Braves race, something like the Mariners maybe breaking their 20-year playoff drought. There's a lot of good things going on all across baseball right now, so I think we're in a really good place.
Yep, I agree. So Aaron Judge, triple crown for him?
It looks like he's right there. That's the other thing, when I said he's in a mini funk, he's got a couple hits. So he's right there battling for the batting average. Home runs over, RBIs are over, so it's all about batting average.
What a story. Great story. Matt, thanks for taking the time to be on. We love having you on. And as I say, CBSSports.com, you do a great job, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Have a good one.
Okay. That is Matt Snyder. Always a pleasure to have him on. Boy, good baseball stories. As I said earlier, before Matt started, Giants have Ford Proctor up here now. Bill Lasky is going to tell us about Ford Proctor and give us a little background on him. And Louis Gonzalez is on the IL. And Lewis Brinson, Susan and I talked about Brinson. He is outrighted to Sacramento, so I assume that means he'll probably get an invite to spring training, which is good because I like the way he played. All right, Bill Lasky comes up next right here on the Sports Leader.